Today I want to talk about something that I think is very important for us as we are on this journey, this walk. An ancient philosopher once said, "Nothing great is created suddenly, any more than a bunch of grapes or a fig. If you tell me that you desire a fig, I answer you that there must be time. Let it first blossom, then bear fruit, and then ripen." I want to talk about patience today. I have five children. My wife doesn't like me to use the word kids. That's slang. So I have five lovely children, and they've helped me over the years to develop patience. But it's something I am still working on. But it does take time to do worthwhile things. I don't know how many have ever put thought into that. Things that are worthwhile. A good bottle of wine. A good steak. A good crop. Things take time to develop. Just like us. Let us first blossom, then bear fruit, and then ripen. Our society nowadays, it is so difficult to be patient because everything is now, now, now. I'm that way. I have my cell phone, and if it's not downloading things at 14 gig a minute, I'm upset. You know, it's going to space and coming back. You would think that I would give it a break, but no, it needs to be fast. Something doesn't load on the internet. I can't get it to download fast enough. I'm like, oh, what's wrong with this? I must need something faster. If my kids don't learn a lesson that I'm teaching them, oh, they're going astray. They're all off base. People that I work with, they don't understand something that I'm giving instruction-wise. I struggle with patience. I'm sure that you all do as well. I do when I'm driving. That's where I really test my patience. In Kansas, it wasn't quite so bad, but in Dallas, traffic will test your patience completely. We are really a now, now, now society. Everything's got to be now. There is no relaxed, laid back. Mr. Volchev and I were having a discussion about farms and small towns, and that's what I like. I like the city. I like my job. I like doing what I do, working in computers. But I like being out in a open field with the breeze and the corn blowing and just being peaceful. And things just seemed more relaxed, more calm, more patient in that environment. But you know, it's traffic. It's sports scores. It's loading of videos on the internet or downloading something. Even marriage nowadays, there's no patience. There's no long enduring. There's no better for worse. It's, this is worse. I'm out of here. I can't be patient for this person that I'm with, that I loved so dearly that I had this elaborate, beautiful wedding. I can't be patient with them. They should learn the lessons now and change to be the person that I want them to be. You know, I think about that a lot. People fall in love at the drop of a hat. Kind of seems like we do that sometimes with religion, with a new car, with a new job. It's the greatest thing until it's not, until there's a struggle. And then we don't have any patience to push ourselves through those struggles. We want it now. I struggle with one bad habit or another. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't want to take the time to read the Bible and to study and to ask God to work through me and work this out. I just want it to be resolved. I just don't want to be that person anymore. I don't have patience. And it's something that we each struggle with, I'm sure. I'm sure that you're right now, I hope you're not all out there like, wow, this guy has got some problems. But it is so difficult, especially in this day and age. There's an Andy Griffith episode that I loved as a kid. It's called, "What's Your Hurry?" And this minister comes from out of town, and he comes to give this message. And the message is, "What's your hurry?" We're always rush, 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 he says. And this was back in the 60s. And so they decided, let's relax. Let's take it slow. What would be slower than Mayberry, USA? But what they decided would be great is way back when they used to have band concerts every Saturday evening. And they thought it was a great way to relax and to just enjoy each other's company. So I don't know if anybody's seen this episode and ever watched the Andy Griffith Show. I grew up on it. I know seasons 1 through 5 like the back of my hand. It doesn't matter what episode it is. I can listen to it for 10 seconds and I will be able to tell you, oh yes. So I love that show. Well, this episode ends that they start to get the old band concert back together. Well, now they've got to make the uniforms because it's been so long and they're all moth-ridden. Then the bandstand is all decrepit and broken. Just really, really poignant. So at the end of the episode, it shows Andy and Barney and Gomer and Aunt Bee all sitting on the front porch at Andy's house. Gomer's laying on his back. Barney's asleep in the chair. Aunt Bee's rocking. And the minister pulls up as he's getting ready to leave town. And he says, oh, this is wonderful. I'm glad to see that you took my message to heart and you're relaxing. You're being more patient in life and you're more relaxed. They all kind of get a laugh out of it because they hadn't. They'd rushed to make everything work so that they could relax. And that's what we do sometimes. We rush so that we could relax. It's like we think we're going to miss out on something. If we're patient, if we're relaxed, if we're calm, something's going to pass us by. I can't put my phone down. I might miss an email. I might miss an important update on Facebook with a meme or whatever you call it, that I can't miss this joke or this video. But this is not what God wants of us. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. We'll read this out of the New King James Version. 1 Timothy 6, and we'll pick it up in verse 11 here. Timothy, a young man, well, I say young. He was probably 35 or 40 guesstimates there. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. If we pursue those, what, five, one, two, three, four, five, six things right there, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. What an amazing life we would be leading. Patience is something that I really, really can't tell you how important it is, especially with 5 children. We were watching the Super Bowl this past Sunday. Had a friend of mine over and his wife, and they have 1 child. Oh, what a simple life. My friend was sitting on the couch. Thomas is upstairs off the balcony playing his clarinet. Sam's running around somewhere, climbing up on the couch. Avery's crying. Arden is off watching a video. I don't know what Katie was doing. My friend says, is this what it's like all the time? I said, yes, it is. But you know what? It's funny because having kids separated in age like I do, it's really made me realize just how nice having patience is. Because I'm not the most patient person, but I am far more patient than I used to be. And allowing God to develop the patience in me has given me the ability to really, truly enjoy young children again. Spilled milk. No big deal. It's fine. It's not that. It's a house. We can fix it. John Quincy Adams once said, patience and perseverance have a magical effect before which difficulties disappear and obstacles vanish. I read an interesting study about worry. We all worry. We worry about everything. 92%. It broke it down, but overall, it comes down to 92% of the things we worry about never come to pass. Only 8% are truly things that we need to be concerned about. I thought that was interesting because we don't ever have the patience to not worry. We think we're going to figure this out. Whatever the problem is, my worry is justified. And 8% of the things that we worry about are really the things that we should. We just don't have the patience to allow things to work out in time. So if we aren't patient, we're impatient. And I think that's a good place for us to start this afternoon. Why are we impatient? What are the drivers behind it? Dictionary.com defines impatience as a lack of patience, restlessness, and intolerance of anything that thwarts, delays, or hinders. It's very interesting because I work in IT, and there's no problems in IT unless there's problems in IT. When everything's running great, see, let's have some patience. Nah. If everything is going great, nobody comes and talks to you. You could browse the internet all day long if you wanted. But when things go bad, nobody has any patience. It's the most impatient situation. I need emails. I need to be able to make conference calls. I need to get on the internet. I was downloading these files and sending them to this law firm because we're in a big legal case. We need to get these tax returns finished, whatever it is. They lack impatience. Impatient people, when I travel for my job, it always amazes me, people at an airport and the lack of patience on both sides. Well, the TSA is not impatient. I don't even know what the TSA is really doing, to be honest, besides making my trip as long as possible. But people pushing and cutting, and I'm sure that those that have flown lately or even in the last few years will recall and see how putting things in the overhead bins, those people jump up when the plane immediately hits the ground, the people from back, they rush up front, they've got to get out. I'm always like, yeah, there's no reason to be in such a hurry. But they're so impatient. Exodus 32, what a great example of impatience. Exodus 32, turn with me there. We'll quickly read that. It had been 40 days since Moses had went up to the mountain of God, and the children of Israel called out for leadership. 40 days, and they needed something different. How much is that like our society nowadays? When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." 40 days. That's all it took. Their impatience. God was taking too long. We don't know what has become of Moses. Let's do something about this. A lot of times we pray nowadays. We face trials, health trials, economic trials, whatever the trial may be. Children face trials, differences and difficulties in school, difficulties with their parents, whatever the case may be. We each face a trial. It doesn't matter. My youngest son, Samuel, he's 2 years old. He doesn't realize what a trial is, but he faces them because things to him are important. Opening the gate so that he can go upstairs, that's important for him. And when he can't, that's a trial and he doesn't understand it. The Israelites, 40 days, that's all it took. And they said, "We can't wait on God and Moses. What is going on?" And so they abandoned God. And 4,000 men died that day. How many times do we try to force God's hand in the things that are going on in our lives? A trial that we're facing. A struggle that we have. I've struggled with certain things since I was 12, 13, 14 years old. Still trying to get over them. Whether it's losing my temper, whether it's being impatient, it doesn't matter what it is. I've struggled with things and I'm 41 years old now. Still working on the same things. I'm glad that God is patient with me. I'm glad that God isn't impatient. I'm glad that God doesn't have the level of patience that I have. Because if he did, I'd have been zapped by now. I guarantee it. All of us would have. That's what the beauty of Christ's sacrifice was. It gives us the ability to not always be patient so that we can work through it. But I'm impatient with my kids. I'm impatient in traffic. It's the worst. I'm always going to teach one person or another a lesson. Oh, you cut me off? Let me show you what's going on here. People don't even want to drive with me sometimes. I mentioned the other day to a friend, I bought a new car. I had finally got a new car. My It was sad to depart. I'd had my Gallant for almost 14 years, 255,000 miles. I felt good about it. It was great. My wife would laugh. She's like, I really don't know how you drive that car to work. And, you know, I don't work at a super fancy company, but there's Mercedes and BMWs and Lexus. And here I come rolling up in my 2001 Gallant. Looked like a couple of skis had just been laying on top of it for 10 years because the sun had dried the paint out. There's dents in the back. The back seat had crayons melted all into it. People would be like, hey, will you drive today? And I'm like, if you don't mind crayons on your pants, sure, come on. But I drove that car for a long, long time. And so I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, I've never had as nice a car as the one that I just bought. I'll probably drive it for 20 years now. But he said, well, that Miata, I had a Mazda Miata. He goes, you had that Miata that I almost died in two times. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you're a crazy driver. Yeah, it's a fun car to drive, but I was impatient. I digress. Jesus was the ultimate example of patience. Of course, he was the ultimate example of everything, but turn with me back to 1 Timothy. We'll pick it up, 1 Timothy 1. I'm going to read this actually out of the Good News translation. I like the way it says it here. First Timothy 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 15. This is a true saying to be completely accepted and believed. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But God was merciful to me in order that Christ Jesus might show his full patience in dealing with me, the worst of sinners, as an example for those who would later believe in him and receive eternal life. You read this, I read it, I think Timothy's saying, you know, the worst of sinners, and Jesus Christ might show full patience in dealing with me. I think about that. I think about the lack of patience that I have in any given situation. And I think, what a blessing it is that Jesus has full patience in dealing with me, and that I want to work to become an example of patience. You know, growing up, my dad struggled with anger. And so I kind of inherited that mindset, if you will. But I noticed as my dad got older, we were working in the yard. We had a weed eater. And I wanted the kind that you could just pop the deal off and put more cord in automatically. It just went right in. Or the kind they have these new ones now that you just have this big cord and you stick it in one side and you pull it through the other. Now, that's easy. That doesn't require any patience. But my dad, frugal as he was, didn't want to spend the money on that. So he decided that it would make sense to buy the cord all in a bundle. And so I was probably 13 or 14, and my job was to take care of the yard. So I'm out there, and I'm trying to do this, and the cord falls out of the whole package. And so now there's this big jumbled mess of cord. And I kick it. My dad comes out. What are you doing? Sits me down on the back of his truck, and he starts patiently putting it in, and it unravels, and he starts back over. He goes through it, but it stuck with me. He struggled with anger for a long time in his life, but he was patient in that situation, and it just stuck with me as something we can change. We can learn to be patient. And he was learning in later in life. I mean, he was probably, let's say I was 13, so he'd probably been in his mid-40s then, maybe 30s, I don't know. But it just stuck with me to see him just put it in and then it would unravel. And now as I'm standing here thinking, it's so poignant on life, how we put in this effort to get things in order. And things are going good, and we're patient because things are going good, because there's no trials, there's no real struggles. Maybe there's a fight here and there with our spouse or our family member, but things are going pretty good. And then they all unravel. And then we have to take the time to be patient and go back and get on our knees and pray to God and beg for more patience, beg for an understanding in the Holy Spirit of how do I deal with this situation? But sometimes we just don't want to be patient. We want things to work out in our time. not gods. 1 Timothy 1. Somebody's calling me. That's why you can't use your phone as a Bible very effectively. Sorry, 2 Peter. We'll turn to 2 Peter. And chapter 3, we'll pick it up in verse 9. I'll read this from the Good News Translation as well. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow to do what he has promised, as some think. Instead, he is patient with you, because he does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants all to turn away from their sins. It's kind of like a father with their child. I don't want my children to struggle with anything. I don't have the patience with my children that God has with me, but it certainly is something that I can see as a perfect example of how God looks at us. He doesn't want any one of us to falter, to fall away, to let a struggle ultimately overcome us. He's patient with us. He's kind. He's slow to wrath, easy, quick to love. And that's what we are supposed to be in every situation. It doesn't matter if you're married, if you're single, if you're 8 or 12 or just turning 18. It doesn't matter. You have to have patience in dealing with everyone that you come in contact with. At your job, at school, at home. Patience is so critical because it leads to so many other things when you're impatient. Anger, scorn, saying things you don't mean. Jesus is patient in all that he does. He's patient with us. It's a good thing too, because I seem to make mistake after mistake after mistake. But we have to learn from his example. We have to become patient ourselves. Little story here for you real quick. There was a little girl. She visited this farm one day. She wanted to buy a watermelon. She wanted a great big one because she liked watermelon. And she said, "That big one you got there, how much does that one cost?" And the guy said, "That's $3. She said, "Well, I've only got 30 cents. What'll that get me?" He kind of laughed. He said, "Well, that'll get you one of these little small ones over here." And she said, "What about that one?" asked the farmer, pointing to a small one in the field. And she said, "All right, that's fine. I'll take that little one. But leave it on the vine. Here's my 30 cents. I'll be back in a month." That's patience. That's brilliant. I love that. She didn't have to have it right then. We don't have to be everything God wants us to be right now. We have to have patience to become what he wants us to become. But we can't give up when we make a mistake, when we struggle, when we fall down. We have to realize that we've got to stay on that vine a little bit longer. We've got to get closer to God. We need those nutrients. We need that life support system from God. That's what he provides us. That's what patience gives us. Not a, "I can't do this. I'm not good enough for this calling. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I struggle too much. I make too many mistakes. I fall off the wagon too many times." God wants us to say, "Hey, I'm going to be patient with myself because God is patient with me." It's not God who's hard on us. It's us who are hard on ourselves. Keep that in mind. God is not hard on us. God wants each one of us. Instead, he is patient with you because he does not want anyone to be destroyed. Not even just in us in this room, but anyone out and about. He wants everyone to live his way of life. She was a pretty smart little girl. She knew her patience would be rewarded. We can know that our patience will be rewarded as well. By waiting 1 month, she could have a big, ripe, tasty, juicy watermelon. It's kind of sounding pretty good right now, actually. I love watermelon on a hot summer day. But not with kids, because it drives my patience because they get sticky juice everywhere. Oh, I'm kidding. So I don't want to just say develop patience. I want to give you some tips, pointers, points, whatever you want to call them, on how to develop patience. So the first point is we have to wait for God. Learn to wait for God. It's an easy way to develop patience. Not easy, but it's a way of developing our patience. There are many examples in the Bible of people that were waiting on God. Abraham and Sarah for Isaac. Noah for the flood and the subsiding waters. Jesus for the time to be fulfilled. The disciples for the promised Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms 27. Psalms 27, it's just after 26 and just before 28. We will pick it up in verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't know if that exclamation point was supposed to be there, but it is. It says, wait on the Lord. Be patient in all that you do. Be of good courage. He will strengthen you. David was a man after God's own heart and was an excellent example of waiting on God in some situations. And we can learn much from him. Nothing tries our faith like waiting on God. We want our answer pretty quick. Our society today makes it even worse to want to wait on things because it's so much now, now, now. Post a picture on Facebook. You want 35 likes right off the bat. Come on. My self-worth is based off the likes of this picture. We think that we are being patient. Sometimes we do. We think we're waiting on God. But are we? I don't know that we are. I don't know that I am. When I pray and I say, I need help with this problem. And then I'm like, well, why aren't you making the problem disappear? It's been several hours. It's been a week. It's been a month. It's been a year. Why am I still struggling with that? That does lead to another good self-study of what are you doing to change things? We can't just rely on God. We can't just say, hey, you know, fix this problem. We have to do our part as well. Psalms 24. Turn with me back to Psalms 24. Another scripture to write down, I'm not going to read it, but was Isaiah 40 and verse 31. That's another good one on waiting on God. But Psalms 24, and we'll start in verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We have to wait prayerfully. Psalms 27. Should just be over a little bit there. Verse 14 again. Oh, I already went through that one. 31 verse 24, I'm sorry. Psalms 31. If you want to learn about patience, read through the Psalms. Some great, excellent examples. Don't read through it just yet because you'll take all my scriptures. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. And all you who hope in the Lord. You know, that's what I find amazing about certain scriptures that I take as extremely important are the ones that you find in multiple places in the Bible, in different chapters of the Bible, in different verses. You know, there are times that I want to quit. I'm sure there are times that you want to quit. Maybe we try to make things work out the way we think they should. I do that very much. I think, well, this is what I need to do to make this work. And I don't think that I'm relying on God at that point. I'm relying on myself. I'm impatient with God, so I decide I'm going to take matters into my own hands. And that's where we can falter, definitely. So the first thing I want you to remember is to wait on God. Learn to be patient by waiting on God. The second is cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. It ties very closely with waiting on God. Because I don't think it's very good for us to be like, fine, whatever, I'll wait. No, we need to be of good cheer. We need to have a good attitude in the trials that we struggle through. Because you have to remember that one day, the experiences that you have now are the experiences that you're going to use to help someone else who's gone through the same thing that you've gone through, who may have just experienced it as they came through the tribulation, and you can understand them. and you can help them. So you've got to have cheerful endurance. You can't just say, I'm going to have cheerful endurance. You've got to work to have it. You've got to learn. It's like planting a crop. You know, I listened to Jim Rohn. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. If you haven't, I would highly recommend you listen to him sometime. Read one of his books, The 12 Pillars. Very excellent book. But he said, you know, you can't look at the soil and say, give me a crop. You have to plant and let it grow. It's just like with God. God doesn't just give us the Holy Spirit and then say, go get him. We have to have endurance to grow into what God wants us to be. We have to have patience, long suffering, to become what God wants us to become. And we have to do it cheerfully. I'm not saying you're going to be cheerful every day, so don't expect that, because you're not. I don't think Christ was cheerful every day when he was close to being nailed to that cross. I know he had some, well, you read that he wanted God to let that cup pass away. I don't think he was cheerful in that moment. So don't think that I'm saying every day, doesn't matter what it is, be cheerful, endure, move on, you'll be fine. You're going to have a bad day here and there, maybe everywhere, and then a good year or a good month or whatever. But I'm saying work to learn to have cheerful endurance. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. We'll just start right in verse 1 there. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, we can't have patience by saying, fine, whatever. Do whatever you want. I end up saying that with my kids. Dad, can we have a Coke? Dad, can we have a Coke? No, you had a Coke last night. No, we haven't had a Coke. Can we have candy? This is exactly what it is. I could probably find a video and play it for you. And I'm always like, fine, whatever. That's what I'm saying is, don't just be fine, whatever. Take a step back. Meditate on God's word. Pray. Learn to be cheerful in the moments, knowing that God is working with you and teaching you something here. Try to find, what is it that I'm to become? What is it that I'm to learn from this moment? James 1. Turn with me to James 1. We'll read verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way. For you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure. Make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, if I were you, and I just thought of it now, we should have that written down somewhere where we can see that every day, knowing that we should find it fortunate when all kinds of trials come our way. I mean, there's some of us, some of the brethren in God's church, facing trials of death. I've never faced that. I faced my father dying, and that was tough enough on me. I've never faced death myself. I don't know that, certainly at my age, I don't know that I could face it with a cheerful endurance. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to know that when you come across these trials, when you come up against them, count it all joy. It means that God's working with you. Anybody ever read the book Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? Excellent book. What?
I say canon book, right?
Well, it's a book about, from a devil's perspective, about how he's retiring and he's training another devil. And it's a very interesting read because it says, don't worry about that guy. He's already off track. And I think that's how God is with us. If we're here We have something to do. And Satan will be on us to get us to go off stray, off track, stray from God's word. That's exactly what that book says, is that, I mean, I don't necessarily believe every single word that it says, but when you put it in the mindset of Satan waiting like a lion to pounce on you, he doesn't need to pounce on people that are so far off track that they're not working towards God's kingdom anyways. And that's what we have to remember in facing trials, in facing struggles. That's why we have to endure through, because we know that God is working with us. That's what is so critical to remember. Not why do I keep facing these trials, but what can I learn from this? Cheerful endurance. The scripture that I just read, the word patience is from the Greek word hupomone, which means cheerful or hopeful endurance. If we have real patience, we bear trials calmly. We're steadfast in the face of adversity. We aren't hastily or impetuous, but act with wisdom and with discretion. So my third point is practice. You have to practice to have patience. We want to be patient because it's truly a characteristic of God. It's a characteristic that He's looking for us to have. Patience is something that we have to work at, though. We have to work very hard. It's not easily gained, but it's something that God wants us to have. It's something that we must have. So I have several quick tips that you can write down about how to practice having patience. One of them is to read. Read a book from start to finish. Not Go Dog Go by Dr. Seuss, but something a little challenging. Something that forces you to stick with it. No matter how long it takes, push through. You can train yourself by reading. I'm not a very fast reader, so don't focus on how long it takes. Just focus on learning to be patient and finish what you start. Another is to shift your perspective. Impatience is often rooted in a difference of perspective. We think something should be one way or happen a certain way, and others, or even God, think that it should be another way. So try to have a different perspective. When you're in a situation, try to be patient and see it from the other perspective, the other side. The third is cook something. This might seem funny, but just take the time. Cooking can be very frustrating. I cooked brownies one time in 9th grade. Everything was awesome, except for one thing. I forgot sugar. Here's even worse. I knew they were horrible, so I took them to my grandma's house. And I was like, Nana, you got to try these. I knew what was going to happen. She took a bite. Oh, these are great. I go, Grandma, Nana, I forgot sugar. She's like, oh. But a lot of times I go to a fast food restaurant or I get frustrated and impatient because it takes longer than 2 minutes. How does McDonald's take longer to give me a chicken sandwich? I don't eat hamburgers there. Actually, I only eat ice cream cones. How does this take so long? You're fast food. So take some time. Take a step back and cook something. A real meal. A dessert. But just let it help you develop patience. Do something creative. Some of you probably think, I can't do anything creative. It doesn't matter what it is. Make a paper airplane. Anything creative. It just helps you focus and helps you develop that patience. I've got one for you. Put weed eater cord into a weed whacker. That's a good one. That'll help you. You know, we have a wonderful time we're looking forward to. And if we do wait on God, if we practice godly patience and endure to the end of this age, we have an incredible future. I want to read you a short story really quick. A young man was getting ready to graduate college. For many months, he had admired this sports car in a window at this car dealership. He thought it was beautiful. And he knew his dad was going to get him something pretty good because his dad was well off, had a lot of money, a lot of money. So he said, Dad, there's only one thing I want, that sports car. A few months went by, graduation day approached, and the young man awaited for the signs that his dad had purchased him that car. And so finally, on the morning of his graduation, his dad calls him into his study. I mean, that should tell you something. He's got his own fancy study at this big, beautiful house. And his father said, I just want you to know how proud I am of you. He gives him a small little package wrapped. And his son looks at it and he's already kind of upset because that's not the keys to the car. It's a small little package that's wrapped. So he sits down and he's somewhat disappointed, opens it up, and it's a Bible with his name engraved on it. It's like, you knew I wanted the car. Throws the Bible down and storms out of the house. I don't know if this story is real, but it really makes a good point. Years passed. He never talked to his dad anymore. He just moved on, became a successful businessman, raised a family, and he knew his dad was a pretty older gentleman, so he decided it was time to go back and talk to him and make amends. Well, he got a telegram. It was too late. His father had passed away, left everything to him. So he had to go back to the house. So he goes back and he's sorting through the papers and looking through everything. There's the Bible. Still brand new, never been used. Goes to pick it up and a key falls out of it. And it said, paid in full. And it was the car that he had wanted, that he told his dad, hey, this is what I want. But he didn't have the patience to just sit through and listen to his dad and understand what his dad was trying to teach him. How many times do we miss blessings because they're not packaged as we expect? Do not spoil what we have. Don't spoil this calling because of a lack of patience, because of desire to make things work the way you want them to work, the way we want them, me. Have patience, develop it, work on it. And remember one last scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise.